Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much. Joining me, thanks for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure, as always. You're going to be glad you hung out with us because we've got a new friend, Chip Conley. I can tell already he's going to become an old friend. Chip is an outstanding business executive, and he's the CEO of Joie de Vivre Hospitality. Aren't you impressed that I can say that? That I know what that set looks, how that sounds when you read it? I know you're impressed with that, which is California's Joie de Vivre Hospitality is one of California's largest boutique hotel companies. He's got about 40 properties, 40 award-winning properties across the state of California, and he's the author of a number of books, including the new one, Peak, How Great Companies Get Their Mojo from Maslow. Chip, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. It's good to be with you.
It's good to have you here. Joie de vivre. I love that, you know, there was a time when I didn't like to say French words around here because I was mad at Chirac. Now that France has a new president that's not an enemy of the United States, I don't mind saying that. So I'm glad you came on after the election.
I'm impressed with your pronunciation of it. You know,
How did I do?
Well, you did very well, and there are a lot of people who just say JDV. It's a little easier to pronounce.
Oh, listen, I like to let my audience at least believe that I'm a little bit sophisticated, so I prefer to go ahead and pronounce it out. Congratulations on your success. I'm impressed with what you've done, and you've done some great entrepreneurial things. One of the things that you've done in your company is you guys have done something that is what I talk to my audience about all the time, and that is you found a way to be successful with niches, haven't you?
Yes. I started the company when I was a couple years out of Stanford Business School, and I bought a motel in the ghetto of San Francisco in the Tenderloin, and I had no hotel experience at all. I'm not from a wealthy family, so I went out and raised.
So I know what you were feeling, but what were you thinking?
Yeah, I was feeling the passion. I'm not sure what I was thinking, quite frankly. Sometimes you don't know what you don't know, and that actually is probably.
You didn't know you weren't supposed to do this, did you?
That's right. But if you're gonna buy a motel in the inner city, you gotta figure out the niche of people who are gonna be attracted to it. It was a 1950s motel with a swimming pool in the middle and a lot of parking. And I decided to go after the rock and roll business, basically entertainers,
really?
Musicians, people, frankly, that most hotels didn't wanna have in the
right.
hotel. And it became a huge success. It's called the Phoenix. And that hotel became a big success and attracted all kinds of famous entertainers from David Bowie to Faye Dunaway to, you know, John Kennedy Jr., who I guess is not an entertainer. But so in learning about that hotel, I just realized that each hotel could have its own unique personality and attract a different niche of people in the population. So 40 hotels later, every time we create a hotel, we think of a magazine. Magazines are niche-oriented
right,
themselves.
Very vertical, mostly.
Very vertical, very lifestyle-oriented, and so are boutique hotels. So each time we create a hotel, we imagine a magazine and five words that define the personality of the hotel, and then we create the hotel around that. So that first
say
hotel...
Say that again.
Okay. Well, so each time we create a hotel, we imagine a magazine. Like, for example, the Phoenix Hotel, that rock and roll hotel, was based upon Rolling Stone magazine. We come up with five words that define Rolling Stone magazine, which in the Phoenix's case,
like keywords in a search when you're building a website.
Yeah, exactly. And then we come up with five adjectives like irreverent, adventurous, funky, cool, and young at heart. And everything we did in creating that first hotel had to come back to those five words. And what we found over time is that the people who fell in love with the hotel were people who would consider that those words actually are almost compliments to describe them. So in essence, the brand of the hotel is a mirror for the customer.
And you've been successful and have gotten rich and have made a lot of jobs and a lot of customers happy by recognizing this one premise, Chip. And you tell me if you agree with me. Mm-hmm. Everybody isn't your prospect.
Everyone is our prospect?
Oh, everyone is not. Everyone is not your prospect.
Everyone is not our prospect for an individual hotel.
That's my point. That's my
absolutely.
Point. In other words, you don't look with your individual hotels. You don't look at the phone book and say those are my prospects.
No, you have to. You really do have to be targeted because you know who has the money to go out and market to the world. You need to be going after a small niche of people who are just going to be passionate about your company. We've grown.
See, this is what I'm trying to ship. Pardon me. This is what I'm trying to get across to my small business audience, that you should say Walmart. So what? Who cares about Walmart?
Right.
Don't be afraid of Walmart. They're not attracting the people you need.
That's right. You know, we've gotten to be a large company now. We started with just small hotels one at a time, and we have almost $250 million in sales for all of our hotels now. But we spend less than $50,000 a year on advertising. So we feel very strongly that if you create a great product that excites a certain niche of people in the population, they're going to become loyal and they're going to tell their friends. And as soon as that happens, then you don't have to spend a lot of money on advertising.
Then you're off to the races. Okay, how did Maslow influence you, and why did you dedicate your book to him?
Well, the book.
Tell us, remind the audience who Maslow is.
So Abraham Maslow is a well-known American psychologist who in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s said the following. We've all heard of the expression best practices and worst practices in business. Well, he looked at the psychology community and he said, you know what? Everybody in psychology and psychiatry focuses on worst practices in human behavior, and then they develop a model of human behavior based upon what they see from people who are not happy, not healthy, not in a good place in their life. So Maslow said, well, what if we studied people who were fulfilled in their lives and then created a model around that? He created something called the hierarchy of needs, which is a pyramid.
And if you've ever sold insurance, then you've seen this.
I have not, so I haven't seen it from there. But if you go to a business school, you've probably seen it. There's a lot of different influences to it. In fact, the U.S. Army studied it and, in fact, created their ad campaign for 15 years, Be All You Can Be, based upon it. Because the hierarchy of needs basically says there's physiological needs that people have at the base. Once those are partially met, they move up to the safety needs. And the third level is the social belonging needs. The fourth level is the esteem needs. And at the top of the pyramid is what Maslow called self-actualization.
When we come back, we're going to talk about how that peak, that pinnacle, the pyramid, is what you need to try to, you need to do to get your employees to that level so they can really become superstars working for you. And you aggregate all of that superstardom for your benefit. That's how it works, and it's beautiful. 20 after, Chip Conley and I will be right back. Stay with us. Got a black magic woman.
During the past 10 years, the Small Business Advocate has become the major source of information for the small business community.
We're back. It's 23 after. A little bit of heart for you there. That's Ann Wilson knocking it out. She's still doing it, folks. Still rocking after all these years. We are, too. We're rocking and rolling here at the Small Business Advocate Show in our 11th year of serving you small business owners to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And we do that by introducing you to some really successful, really smart people like Chip Conley, our guest this half hour. And Chip's from California, so Chip, you'll appreciate what I'm about to say. You got a lot of stuff you can help us with, a lot of stuff you can teach us on many levels, inside from your book, not from your book. And I hope you'll come back and be with us again. We're sort of like the Hotel California, Chip. I know that's an interesting term because you're in the hotel business in California. You can check out here anytime you want, but you can never leave.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you. And it's funny you had heart there because actually we have something called the joie de vivre heart in our company. And it's based upon the premise that if you...
I see that in your book. It's outstanding.
If you create a great culture, a great corporate culture, it leads to enthusiastic employees. If your employees are enthusiastic, that'll lead to loyal customers, and if you have loyal customers, that'll lead to a profitable and sustainable business. And we put it in the form of a heart, and it's like a it's a circle that actually just sort of feeds on itself. And
well, all of us know, most people know what a circular reference is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a formula that's broken that you can't get out of, basically.
Right.
Well, this is a formula that works.
Right.
That if you establish it and if you nurture it, it's a perpetual engine, isn't it?
Yep, it is. And it was that's part of the book Peak. There's a piece of the book Peak that really is about how do you create culture in a company. And the reason I, back to Maslow for a moment, but the reason I started studying Maslow and started looking at Maslow is in the year 2001, the hotel business in California, and especially in the Bay Area, became very difficult. And it was because of the dot-com bust and then 9/11. Mm-hmm. And so we were actually in a very troubled place, and I was looking for something that would inspire me to create a different business model to get us through the difficult times. And I took Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs that we talked about earlier and applied it to our relationship with our employees, our customers, and our investors to create self-actualized employees, customers, and investors, and it worked.
Well, the thing that I'm so glad to hear you say that, and the thing that I think people need to realize in an economy like we have in 2008, which is going to be isn't for some people and may continue to be a challenging economy, people haven't gone out of business. People haven't stopped spending money. They've just maybe are just more judicious with their money.
Right.
And our job is to make sure that our customers, that we get our share of that business. Let the people who don't take care of their employees, who don't take care of the customers, let them suffer. That doesn't have to be our fate, does it?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, people are still traveling in the hotel business. People are still traveling and staying in hotels. You just have to actually figure out how to get them into your property. And
right.
And a lot of that comes back to how do you treat your employees? How do your employees feel like they don't have a job, but they have a calling? And that's a lot of what I talk about in Peak, is how do you actually take your employees so that they can see what they do in their work as not just being a job or a career, but they actually see it as being a calling. And when you're checking into the hotel and someone at the front desk is actually living their calling, checking you in, you notice that as opposed to someone who's just doing their job.
Right. No, absolutely. And all the hotels I go in, I can tell when the people are connected or not. There have been a number of studies, Chip, and I'm sure you know this, for some reason there's just been a plethora of studies in the last 6 to 12 months on employee engagement.
Yeah.
And Chip, the news is not good.
No, it's
the news. In fact, the news is horrible. It's frightening.
Mm.
How poorly engaged, how unengaged the majority of employees are today.
I love the word because they used to talk about employee empowerment, but engagement is a better word because engagement just really does tell you is the employee tapped in? Are they really interested in seeing what they can do during that 8 hours they're with you there?
Engagement is empowerment in gear, isn't it?
Yep, it is.
Empowerment just means that the energy is there. Engagement is the deployment of that energy.
That's exactly right. Right.
So how do we do that? Give us some. How do we get them to believe that they should be engaged?
Well, first of all, when employees don't feel listened to and they feel like they have no way to actually get their ideas out there, they stop giving you ideas. So some of it is just making sure that they feel listened to. There's really three levels to the employee pyramid. One is the base level, the survival need for employees is money. They have to feel like they're getting respected in terms of how they're being compensated,
mm-hmm.
both in their wage or their salary, but also in terms of some of the intangible benefits that a company gives their employees. But that's not, generally speaking, the fourth most likely reason a person leaves their job is money.
That's right.
Not the first.
Mm-hmm.
So the number one reason a person leaves their job is their boss. They think that their boss doesn't understand them, and that's the second level.
Or doesn't appreciate them, right.
Exactly. That's the second level of the Peak pyramid is recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And so creating programs for both formal and informal recognition of employees is a big piece of getting your employees engaged.
Right.
And so how does an employee feel like they are being listened to? And then the peak of the pyramid is meaning, giving employees a sense of meaning and inspiration and calling in what they do.
Napoleon said a soldier will fight long and hard for a bit of colored ribbon.
That's right.
Hey, Chip, will you come back another day?
That'd be great. Thank you.
We got a lot of the book is called Peak. Where's it? And it's available wherever books are sold, right?
Books are sold at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you name it.
Thanks, Chip. Chip Conley, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I will
all
be,
right,
too, after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.